This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 5th, WGN show. We started promptly at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Three big hours to spend together, and I've got both the National Enquirer and the National Examiner. That's right, slime from the checkout line. And, of course, you can imagine the Trump stories due to all the news that's come out. But not only that, we also find out there was a secret wedding. Taylor Swift allegedly got married. All right, so we can cover all those things, or you could call. Yeah, some people like Amanda who listen say, why are you reading the tabloids? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's a better threat at getting people to call than playing odd doo-wop used to be years ago. Yeah, I can't do that here because many of you like it. So, and as do I, of course. So that's some of what's going on. But the other thing in reference to show prep, it happened again today. I went to the grocery store and I was absolutely floored by what things cost. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's an 8% rise in inflation or what have you. It seems like it's much, much more than that. And it was interesting that I got home and got email from two friends, and both of them had commented that they were at the grocery store today. Must be senior day everywhere. But in any event, they were at the grocery store and just absolutely stunned. Now, that said, there's lines in the checkout lines, self-service and otherwise, continually. People continue to buy things. And I just don't know how they're making it. It's story after story. We talked last night about 33% of parents in New York say their adult children up to pretty much age 39 are still living with them. So that's a third of the parents. And nationally, the average is even higher. But beyond that, it's story after story about how people aren't making it yet. Everywhere you go, there's job openings, and boy, are there. And the incentives just seem like they're nonstop. So lots of jobs, no one to work them, and prices are going up, and I flat out don't understand. I used to have a good handle on, you know, what is the meaning of this? Now I just give up. So if you have any insight into this, particularly with regard to things like grocery shopping, you know, it's great if you don't have to worry about money and you never bother to look at the price of anything. That's marvelous, but that's a very small percentage of people. For everybody else, how are you doing it? Much like you go to the gas pump and, you know, upwards of $4.50 a gallon or what have you. And that's another thing when I hear people say, well, it'll cause people to drive less, as if everybody's a Sunday driver and is just driving for the hell of it. Most people are driving because they have to, not because they want an outing in the country. And the idea of driving less is not realistic. And I look at this and say, well, no wonder people aren't working. They can't afford to get to work. So I must admit that I am 100% clueless on this. So not a political discussion, more of a lifestyle discussion. How are you making it? and how are people you know making it? Because there's a story here somewhere, and I just flat out don't understand it. All right, so that said, we've got a ton of links from James, and we'll get to many of them. We'll skip the politically tinged ones, of course, because, yeah, I try to keep that blood pressure in check. And if I think that I'm confused over what is happening with things like the economy, I'm completely baffled by politics. So we'll leave that aside and tackle so many, many other things. Yeah. Worldwide, actually. But, as I say, Taylor Swift, secret wedding. Yeah, did she or didn't she? Well, according to the National Enquirer, she absolutely did and is apparently keeping it a secret. Not only that, but she didn't do a prenup. Whoa, boy. Again, I have utterly no idea if any of this is true, but she allegedly has been with the same boyfriend for over 7 years, which is a long record for Taylor. And, apparently, they were talking about getting married after her tour ended this August, but he, that's Joe Alwyn, by the way, said, why not, why wait? Why not do this right now? So a quickie West Coast beachfront wedding with a few friends in tow, they say. I don't know. And that's allegedly the deal. But when I read that he was not too hot on a prenup, not because he wanted any of her money necessarily, so he says, because I don't know, he's worth about $4 million himself, which isn't exactly chump change, but she's worth, oh, I don't know, about $570 million and rising by the minute. But apparently, he said prenups are betting on failure, and she went for it. So allegedly, there is none. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. So yes, we've got much more from the tabloids, but the reality is that most of the stories I can't share with you because I've never heard of any of the people. So meanwhile, yes, Lisa Marie Presley may be dead, but of course the lawsuits continue between her mother and her daughter in terms of who is in charge of this trust. And according to Lisa Marie's will, it's open and shut. Riley, her daughter, is 100% in charge. But according to Priscilla, of course, not so fast. She didn't sign that. Well, apparently that's not known yet, but she's hiring handwriting experts. And if that fails, she'll say that she wasn't in her right mind. But allegedly, you'll love this. John Travolta is going to be the fence mender. He's going to be the truce maker. And of course, it's a National Enquirer article, so you know it involves the Church of Scientology. And there it goes. So legally, the lawsuits keep on coming. And the thing that interested me most is I didn't realize that Lisa Marie had any money left. I thought that that she completely had blown that. But apparently there, of course, there will always be money coming in the estate of Elvis. You kind of know that. But nonetheless, I didn't think it was the kind of thing that would inspire this level of a rift in a family and lawsuits, but it does. So now apparently John Travolta has stepped in and mother and granddaughter are talking to one another. Well, very good. Then we have Prince William. Of course, nothing would be a tabloid without a royal story or two or 12. And that would be Bea and Eugenie. Those are the children of Andrew and Fergie. And apparently, Prince William is and others are calling them on the carpet. Yeah, Prince Andrew's daughters, because they are too close to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. I would not think that would be the worst of their worries, considering poor Andrew. That's right, and all he's going through. But nonetheless, that gets a couple pages in the Inquirer. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Martha is in Chicago. So, Martha, welcome to WGN Radio. How's it going? Are you with me, Martha? No, we lost Martha. She had a request. I don't know what it was, but and I might play it, too. But I'm going to play a Coasters record next. I haven't really decided which one yet. Yeah, I could play a Robbins record, too. But actually, in this case, it needs to be the Coasters because Leon Hughes has died. And Leon Hughes was an original Coaster. And maybe you know that story. If not, we'll tell it next right here on WGN Radio.
Well, I got a dip in China, they stole no food and gone. I went searching around the seaport and I caught at all the gay. They went trembling and shaking when they saw me, Charlie Chan, cause I'm a bandit. And I'm all in my ding-dong. Cause I'm a bandit. And I'm trembling and shaking. On a bus ride, number one, eating fried rice, and I ate bouillon, sitting there feeling you, stupid face, while your body go out, and he got the cake, cause I'm a bandit, and I'm on my ding-dong, cause I'm a bandit,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it's the Coasters. All right. About 6 years after Searching in 1963, they came out with Bad Detective, and no, it didn't chart, but it should have. I thought it was a fun record all the way around. What's not fun is saying that the last surviving original Coaster, Leon Hughes, is no longer with us. And apparently he died over a month ago, and I had not known it. He was still living in Watts, 92 years old, died at home on March 1st. And the Coasters, of course, were an outgrowth of the Robins, and it was not necessarily that happy a story. Lieber and Stoller had been involved with the Robins, and they were around even before Lieber and Stoller, too, on Modern and several other labels. But in 1955, they had a big hit on Lieber and Stoller's label, Smokey Joe's Cafe. And right as it was becoming a hit, Lieber and Stoller had signed a deal where they were going to be producers for Atlantic. And so it was that they went to Carl Gardner, who had been a Robin, as in Smokey Joe's Cafe and the Robins, and nabbed him away, which they could do. I think he might have been underage. He might not have been old enough to sign the contract. But regardless, he left, and Bobby Nunn went with him, which left the Coasters, which left the Robins to be not many people, Ty Terrell and a couple. But it was interesting because when Carl and Bobby Nunn got together and they were going to be the Coasters, since the other Robins weren't involved in this, and that's questionable whether they could have or whether they were offered. You know, there's conflicting stories on all that, but nonetheless, they weren't. Ty Terrell and the gang stayed in Los Angeles. They recruited a comedian, Billy Guy, who was doing comedy singing, and Leon Hughes. And Leon Hughes had been in the Hollywood Flames. Yeah, so he had some good chops behind him as well, and that was the original Coasters quartet, the four of them. And now, sadly, all four of them gone. So rest in peace, Leon Hughes. 888-876-5593. Well, she didn't answer to Martha because her name is Marianne, and that was a typo. So, Marianne, there you are. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay, I heard you saying Martha, Martha, and then all of a sudden John came on and he said, are you still there, Marianne?
What he had on the screen wasn't what he said to you, so now he does.
Yeah, he said, we had a typing problem here.
Yeah, yeah, and but that's all right. The fact that he types at all is amazing to me.
Yeah. Now, I, you know, with all the times being screwed up, I had asked you last week to play Peter the Meter Reader, so I don't know if you played it yet.
No, I'll play it for you tonight.
Oh, okay. And could you play something by Marvin Gaye, since I believe his birthday was Saturday?
Yeah, we talked about him. What would you like to hear in particular?
Whatever you think is appropriate.
All right. Well, the other night I played something by the Moonglows that he sung lead on when he was with them. And, maybe I'll pick something that he did for the Motown stable. All right. We'll do it.
Okay. And then could you play another song? Pick something that would be a favorite of Scotty. Maybe if he's listening, we can draw him out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's anything doo-wop, I think. I hope Scotty is all right. And as I said, I've enlisted a friend who in May is going to be in northern Indiana, and he'll drive by and see for himself what's going on with Scotty.
What's going on?
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, there you go. There's your Marvin Gaye record, right?
And you, I know you're a dog person.
Yes, large ones. Big dogs. Love them big.
Yeah, I figured you'd like big dogs, but I was watching the Westminster Agility Show the other day.
Oh, who was on? What did they have?
I couldn't tell you. It was only two categories, little bitty dogs and big dogs.
Let's talk about the big ones.
Well, the big ones were beautiful. I mean, I was in a funky mood, and then I saw these dogs. I'm like, wow, they really love what they're doing.
So who won?
I haven't seen it all yet. I recorded it.
Okay, all right.
But they have this little bitty chihuahua, like the one from Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah.
And they put the dog's name, their age, the owner, and where they live. And this little bitty chihuahua was named Porky Pig.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed all day long. I'm like, wow, that really pulled me out of my funky mood.
Well, good. Good.
And we could have used you the other day on the John Williams show.
Oh, yeah? What was going on?
The 50th anniversary of the cell phone.
Oh, yeah. I talked about that last night. Yes, absolutely. Well, sort of. That was Martin Cooper, and he'd been with Motorola. And as I mentioned last night, his wife owns Jitterbug. Great call. So.
Really?
Yeah. So he's like 92 years old, but he's still in the cell phone business. And his wife is an engineer, and she comes from a background of a paging family. So, when Martin made that call in New York, that pretty much ended the paging industry overnight. And, of course, AT&T had been wanting to do in-car mobile, and they were trying to get patents on all that. And Martin said, no reason to do it in-car. People want it mobile. And that was the start of it. And as I also mentioned, there's a Chicago aspect of this because the first mobile network or cellular network, if you will, was 1983 Ameritech in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you're right. But remember, I got 31 years at the phone company.
So you know.
I started in 1970 as an operator.
Yeah. Well, 19.
So they had to dial operator, tell us I need a mobile operator.
Yeah.
We had to plug in our cord, get them connected, give them what information, and they couldn't get out of the car.
Right. Oh, no, believe me, I had one of these beasts, and, I said all along, I don't care if they have a dial on them now, it's still a ship-to-shore radio. But
and you heard the story about with Bob Collins, right?
What?
Some man called his show and said, hey, yeah, I'm calling you from my, I corrected him. I told him they weren't cellular phones, they were mobile phones.
Right.
He said, from the first mobile phone, it's in my car. And he's going, telling them how much it costs, how they put it in.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a crash while he was on the air.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hopefully he survived
it. The first car crash caused by being on his phone.
Oh, man. That's great. That's a wonderful story. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, I'll listen for my songs.
Okay, bye. So, yeah, car crashes on the radio. I got a few of those stories, too. 888-876-5593. But speaking of stories, let's find out what's going on at the WGN Radio Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Here we go again. I was lying on my back porch just to get in some sun. Had my hair done up in pigtails, had my swimming suit on. I was just about asleep when there came a shadow over me. I opened up my eyes to peek, and what did I see? There was a man, what a man, looking down over me. Tall, dark, and handsome, 6'3". There was a look in his eye that was telling me he knew there was something that he wanted to see. He said, hi, my name's Peter, and I'm here to read your meter. I'd like to see your kilowatts. Could you take me to your box? I didn't have the slightest notion where that box could be, but I said to Peter, won't you follow me? We went upstairs, downstairs, inside and out. I just loved having Peter follow me about. He said, hey, what's with your box? Can't you take me to your box? I came here to see your meter. They call me Peter, the meter reader. By the time he found my meter, it was 4:15. And he said to watch my heater as he was walking through my door. Every single kilowatt
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there's more Mary Wilson. Yes, the follow-up to Telephone Man Peter the Meter Reader on WMOT, a Columbia-distributed label. And interesting credits on that. Boomer Castleman produced it, and Mary wrote it. Well, co-wrote it with Don Behrman. But nonetheless, that was Peter the Meter Reader, which got a lot of play on Dr. Demento, but maybe nowhere else. So that's for Marianne. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and Ken is in Chicago. Ken, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, I heard your good evening.
Yes.
Heard your rant as you got on the air tonight.
Yes.
About grocery prices.
Yes.
And for as much as you can't stand it, I work in the industry for fruits and vegetables, and believe me, first off, at the end of the day, a grocery store only makes about 2-3% margin at the end of the day when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
So they're not killing it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very slim margins that they make.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of things going on. Obviously, the first one is domestic freight rates are crazy because of gas prices.
Right.
And then import prices are still very high. And we're in that period now where domestically in the United States, in the warmer areas, farmers are starting to contribute with their crops. So you're going to see prices starting to come down maybe around May-ish, I would think. But, you know, we import a lot in the wintertime. So there's those transportation costs that are thrown in there that kind of make everything get a little bit higher. But as we get into the warmer months, June, July, August, September, and we are domestically producing a lot of our fruits and vegetables, then we knock off at least the import taxes and some of the tariffs and some of those transportation costs.
Well,
so that's why you're aggravated.
Sense.
And
No. I'm not aggravated. I'm mystified. I'm not looking at it in terms of why are they so high. That's not my point at all, because I figure that's above my pay grade and it's probably high for a zillion reasons across the board. And in my case, yeah, you're right. It's not fruit and vegetables, God forbid. It's an Amy's pizza, a small pizza, $11. I'm like, what? What is getting me again? I don't care about it from a political standpoint. I don't care about it really from an economic analysis standpoint. What I don't understand, Ken, is how the average person is doing it. And that's what I'm curious about. Not why is it high? How is the average person paying for it?
Well, I could tell you in my family, there's something that suffers. And it's movie night out, or it's you have to sacrifice something, or you know, that's how you get by. You have to choose what you're going to do. You know, we're in the middle of a remodeling project, and we've decided that, you know, we've got to kind of put it on hold right now because, you know, and it's just, you have to make choices. It's what we've had to do is we've got to make choices.
Let me ask you, how close are we to there is no choice? Because, you know, you can stop your remodeling project and there are certain things you can do. There are also certain things you cannot do. For instance, if you're driving to work and you're getting a paycheck, you can't stop driving. It's that simple.
Correct.
So with that in mind, how close are we to the point that it's no longer a case of what I'm going to give up because I've given it up already?
Well, you're right in that. And we just had this conversation with our kids, and they're older. They're 28 and 26. And, you know, I feel sorry for that age group because look at the prices of housing, everything, a car, everything is so expensive for these kids.
Yeah.
That my daughter said to me, she said, Dad, how am I? And she just got done paying off $100,000 master's degree tuition bill.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's everything is so out of hand, Raleigh. I don't have the answers. And I don't want to get political on your show, but I just wish the administration would really step in and help bring back some jobs here in the United States, do some light manufacturing. I don't hear anything. And that's pretty disappointing. But I don't want to get political.
I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I do save that for off-the-air conversations if I have them. But on the air, see, separating all that, I'm just afraid we're getting to a point, like I say, where we've given up all you can give up, pretty much. And things are still at a point where I don't, and especially, like you mentioned, the kids with student debt. And that can be enormous. You know, kudos to your daughter for paying them off. But my question is, what's going to happen here? Because if this continues, people are absolutely running out of things to give up.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I've never seen it this bad.
No, and, no one has.
You know, I'm 62, and I've never seen it this bad.
No one has. And, you know, that's where when you start to get historical, you start to worry about the Weimar Republic. And, again, that's a discussion for another show. But yeah, there's a lot of concerns I have there. But apart from the whys is right now, to me, just the hows. How are they doing it? And that's kind of a lifestyle question, which is why I ask it on this air. And I'd be very curious for more people to call in and tell me, you know, if you've given up everything you can give up and you still can't pay these prices, are you just going into credit card debt? What's going on?
Hey, could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
My father's, he had two favorite groups. One was he loved Dion and the Belmonts.
Oh.
And he loved the Cadillacs. And if you have a chance to play something from any of those, would love to hear it.
Oh, absolutely, especially the Cadillacs. Well, kudos to your father because, you know, you're not that long a tooth, but at 62, most fathers of 62-year-olds today hated rock and roll, so you were lucky.
Yeah, but he did leave me his Glenn Miller collection as well.
Well, so that's nice.
There as well.
Yeah, all right. Well, good deal. Well, good to hear from you, and thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Good
it.
Night.
Yeah. So like I say, yeah, I understand the political machinations and the economic machinations, but just the reality. I don't know how people are doing it. And I say this all the time because I'm never without a sense of wonderment as I see what's going on. So it's far from a case of blaming who did what to whom. It's how are you making it? All right. Now, Cheryl is a first-time caller, and what brought her to the phone is a request, so let's see what she wants to hear. What do you want, Cheryl?
This old house.
Oh, yeah? All right. All right. I can do that.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. All right.
You're welcome.
Haven't heard that request in a while. Got to see if it's on this computer, and it probably is, actually, and I'll dig it up if it is for sure. All right. So James sent a ton of stories, and we're going to review some of those. Oh, absolutely. And Stacy has an update in Algonquin, and that's coming up next. But right now, I know if you listen to this show, you are a radio lover. And so, therefore, I probably am preaching to the choir when I talk about the Sea Crane Company, but they are just so good. Many, many years ago, Bob Crane, a true radio lover, was just as aghast as the rest of us were that radio reception, you know, for better word, sucked. Yeah, there's a technical concept. It did. And you know that from most radios. And of course, you know that now with the news today about cars dropping AM radio and all that. Well, in Bob Crane's case, he decided he was going to do something about radio reception, and he came up with the best products. And to this day, one of the things about the Sea Crane Company is every product is a radio lover's delight. And normally I talk about the radios that have just terrific reception, and boy, do they. But right now I want to talk about the CC Wi-Fi Internet 3, which also has terrific reception, but of a different kind. Now, here's the deal. Probably you've listened to online streams. Maybe you've got a Wi-Fi radio. Well, the CC Wi-Fi Radio 3 is just better. The audio is terrific. If you've been listening on your smartphone or something like that, man, you can listen to the CC Wi-Fi, and it just sounds wonderful. But it is so intuitive and so easy to use that if you haven't bought a Wi-Fi radio or haven't gotten a new one because you're saying, the learning curve, there is no learning curve to this. You plug it in, and you'll figure it out. It is that easy, I promise. You can hear over 30,000 stations from all over, of course, America and the world, actually. So whatever floats your boat, whatever it is you want to hear, you'll hear it on Wi-Fi radio. Now, not only that, but if it's something you listen to on AM or FM, like WGN radio, for instance, you'll hear it online with absolute clarity. And you don't sign up for any apps. There's no microphone. There's no ads. There's no monthly fee. And it's got a full-size remote control. It's just terrific. And when I say it has superior reception, as you know, if you have a wireless access point, devices, whether it's your laptop or a smartphone or what have you, connect to that wireless access point for better or worse. And sometimes it's a little hinky. Well, I'll tell you, if you've got any wireless access point in your vicinity, the Sea Crane Wi-Fi will pick it up. It's got terrific reception. So that's neat as well. You can read all about it, the CC Wi-Fi 3, online at ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Or give them a call. You know, they're there 24 hours a day, and it's them. It's real customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. You can order by phone. You can order online if you want amazingly quick shipping. You can go to Amazon. But the real experience is ccradio.com. You'll not only see great products, but get great information as well. And you can see the CC Wi-Fi 3 up close and personal. And while you're there, you can sign up for the Sea Crane newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, which is always nice. So it's the CC Wi-Fi 3, ccradio.com, 800-522-8863. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
This old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't you gonna need this house no longer. Ain't you gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. He's a-getting ready to meet the saints. This old house is a-getting shaky. This old house is a-getting old. This old house lets in the rain. This old house lets in the cold. Oh, his knees are a-getting chilly, but he feels no fear of pain, 'cause he sees an angel peeking through a broken window pane.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Not sure anybody ever requested that before, but Cheryl did, and there it is. That's the Rosie Clooney version, 1955 on Columbia, for a couple reasons. She didn't write it. Actually, Stuart Hamblin did, and he had it out a year earlier. But the deal with Rosemary on Columbia was it was one of the first records that went to number one on the strength of 45 RPM sales. So mid-50s, this was unusual. Of course, it was out on shellac, too, on 78, but the idea that a 45 would draw a enough sales for a million seller, that was absolutely novel. I don't know that it was the first, but it certainly would be around that. So not the original, that was Stuart Hamblin, but probably the biggest. So that's for Cheryl. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Stacy is in Algonquin. What's happening, Stacy?
Raleigh?
Yes.
Oh, good. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay. John sounds good. Yeah. And how are you doing?
You know, I'm here, and I'm glad to be here. I'm erect. I'm walking erect and conjugating my verbs, so I guess all is well.
I know what you mean. But I know what you're talking about with the prices.
Yeah.
Because on Wednesdays, I have Karen go shopping.
Yeah.
And I look at my bill, and I mean everything, it's going up tremendous. This world is nuts.
Well, it is, and I'm glad you called, because I forgot to wish all of our Jewish listeners a happy Passover. It's Pesach, Pesach tonight. So yes,
thank you.
Yes. I'm not sure why this night is different from any other night, but I know it is.
Oh yeah, that's what I miss with. You know, I don't have.
Yeah.
Well, when Ronaldo was alive, we just just exchanged cards. You know, gave him a beautiful Easter card. He gave me a beautiful Hanukkah card. What do you want to do for eating?
Yeah.
We, you know, when we were years ago, you know, my mom would make a big meal and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I was going with Raldo, and Raldo would come over, and she was such a good cook, and she'd light the candles, and it would all be wonderful, and then my cousins would come and everything.
Sure.
And now, it's still, even if I, you know, like, I've been just feeling so exhausted, and then sometimes when I sit down, I fall asleep. Mm. And then I get up, and I think, oh, my God, I'm alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just God. He's been holding me up, and I've been trying to be strong and everything, and I've been putting other pictures away in boxes and doing the. I found more clothes in a box.
Mm.
It's so funny. So I told Tracy came over later, and so she. Oh God, she. I haven't seen her for a while. And she put out the two boxes for the veterans, paralyzed veterans,
mm-hmm.
who are supposed to come Friday. I'm going to check with them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brought out the bins and the garbage and was talking to me. And, oh, my God. And then she just ran upstairs and found some other bags, I think, are for the veterans, too. And she was labeling them, and she was talking to me, and I said, I found more clothes to go through.
Good. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Let me leave you right there in the closet, and we'll pick it up right after the news. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
And we'll get to Stacy. We'll get to James, and there's plenty of room for you. We got two more hours to go right here on WGN Radio.
Gloria.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's quintessential Cadillac's Gloria, although Speedo certainly was bigger on the charts. Gloria was the litmus test. Bottom line, in the 50s, you couldn't be a doo-wop group if you couldn't sing Gloria. It was that simple. And if you look at the Cadillac's version, you'd say, oh, their manager, Esther Navarro, wrote it. She didn't write that any more than she wrote any of the other songs, but they were truthfully. But the reality is that it was nobody associated directly with the Cadillacs who wrote Gloria. It was Leon Rene. Yeah, and at the time, he owned Exclusive Records, and that was actually a very interesting little label, but it went down because they owned the pressing, and the pressing was for all shellac, all 78 RPM. So when 45s came in, that was pretty much the end of Exclusive. But in 1946, that is when the first version of Gloria was released. And Leon Rene, as I mentioned, wrote it. And so a full decade, pretty much, well, 8 years, 8.5 years, before the Cadillacs made it a doo-wop institution, it was Bob Hayward with Buddy Baker and his orchestra doing the original Gloria.
It's not Marie, it's Gloria. It's not Sherry, it's Gloria. She's in your every dream. You like to play the game of kiss and run away, but now you find it's way. Somehow you've changed and seen.
So not exactly the Cadillacs, but that would ultimately by the Cadillacs become, as I say, the litmus test for every doo-wop group after them. And Gloria, the original Gloria, who knew? All right, Stacy is in Algonquin. I'm picking it up right there. So things are going well. I'm glad to hear this.
Yeah, and I heard, I talked to Laura from Des Plaines. She's doing pretty good.
Good.
And she said she's going to come over by me as soon as she's done with all of her programs and stuff.
Good.
And so she's doing okay. She's doing well.
Excellent.
And then my friend Rick, who, you know, he was in the Emirates and back, he came home Sunday night, and he called me today.
Good.
And he said he had an excellent trip. Everything was wonderful. So I said, that's good, and he's well. And so we said, okay, we'll talk tomorrow, because he's going to his sister Eileen's Seder tonight.
Oh, very nice.
And so, oh, he's got such sisters. He's such a good uncle. He said, I have to go to the bank. I have to get Hanukkah gelt for, you know, the kids.
You know, it's funny. I don't, like I said, I've never been to a Seder. Don't know much about it. But I have a good friend who, when he was, oh, gosh, he couldn't have been much out of high school. And he was from a pretty big Jewish family. And he, at the time, had gotten a job at Paramount. And he got to know a lot of the guys who were extras. And apparently, mm-hmm. in the Seder, there's one part where you fling open a door and welcome somebody in. I forget who the
son.
Well, so he got these extras, like 14 of them, to dress like tramps and come right into his mother's living room. I think the woman didn't talk to him for 3 years.
Oh, my God. I remember my mother did that when we were in the city, you know, she'd have the dinner, she would open up the door.
Yeah, yeah, well.
You know, and the parents, they know everything about that.
Right, but nobody expects, you know, 12 scruffy-looking guys to walk in.
Oh, my God. But, it's okay. No, I'm just, you know, like, really, and the, you know, Algonquin, we're in a northwest suburb of Illinois.
Sure.
So we're in McHenry County. So when the crazy tornado thing, it just came like in a slant.
Yeah.
And then with those, some of the hail, and then it just stops.
Right.
But Tracy told me that some of the hail hit the top of her car and hurt her car.
Well, it happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I had Karen and check outside, and she said, you know, everything looks okay, basement's okay, everything's okay. So that was good. I mean, we've had such neurotic weather.
Everybody has. It's been virtually everywhere.
You know, I feel bad for, we have such respect for our police and the firefighters. And again, I don't know if you probably heard, downtown on Lakeshore Drive, they had a fire.
Uh-huh.
And one of the firemen, he died going up the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was right on the Gold Coast. That was right on Lakeshore Drive. Yeah.
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I feel,
you know,
so bad when I...
You think of these neighborhoods and these buildings that are, you know, so nice, and just like a couple of years ago when that Surfside, Florida collapse happened in that building and no one could believe it. Well, the same thing here. Apparently, that building had several violations that the city inspectors had, and I would think that somebody, I would hope, has to hang for that.
Oh, especially, I mean, he's running up the, and he died, he's running up the stairs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't a new building, it was a condo when it was built before 1975, I think it was built in like 1970, and before 75, they didn't require the same type of fire retardants, they didn't have to have sprinklers and things like that, so that would have been grandfathered in, but, you know, that can be a problem waiting to happen. Now, I'm normally not a big fan of sprinklers, because, of course, you're doing something and you accidentally knock one off, man, you're going to be underwater. I've had it happen more than once. But that said, there are times when that kind of stuff can be life-saving. But apparently, last fall, they were issued 5 building code violations. And I think now the question is going to be, did they fix them?
Oh, right.
See, I don't know. I don't have any of the details.
Horrible.
Yeah, and I think there were two, weren't there, in the last couple days, two firefighters who have been killed?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I listen to Bob Surratt when I can, and about 7:20 in the morning, he talks to Joseph Wisely. He's a reporter in the Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
And he always gives him a report, what's going on there.
Nothing good.
And Joseph, he's been out there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I like to hear, you know, what he says and everything, and amazing. I mean, what is all this war? Why can't they stop it?
Well, you know, that becomes a that becomes a political discussion I don't want to have. But like you, I find most of this totally senseless. You can scratch the surface and realize who has to gain and why and what. But the net result for everybody who's caught in the crosshairs is what a waste.
Oh, it is. I just don't understand this world.
Oh, I know.
Mean,
well, the Earth is a difficult planet. If you decide to incarnate on Earth, you're in for a rocky ride.
Oh, God. Oh, I noticed my birthday is on the 21st.
Yeah.
And the 20th is the full moon.
Of April? The 20th, actually, isn't it a full moon tonight, now that you mention it? I think it's the pink moon. I think it is a full moon, and I think it is the pink moon. I'm pretty sure that April 5th is also Gary Stevens' 83rd birthday. Happy birthday, Gary Stevens, WMCA good guy. So let's see. Here we go, April 5th. I think it's a
law of abundance thing.
Yeah, well, no, that's for new moons. Remember.
Oh, that's what I mean. Oh, a new moon.
Yeah, this is a full moon. It's a full moon tonight, the pink moon.
Okay, so the new moon.
Yeah, the new moon is law of abundance when you're starting things. But as far as full moon, tonight is the night to go bay at the moon. Right now would be fine. Go outside and bay. And apparently it will be 11:30. So wait, in another 14 minutes, it'll be perfectly fine in the central time zone. Go outside and bay right at that moon. Hey, better than some people who go out there stark naked, dance, and throw money. I don't advise that. But a little baying may not be bad.
The abundance for April, then.
Yes, well, that's the new moon as far as that goes. So let me look up the. I'll be happy to look up the new moon date for you here. Wait a minute. Let me move this aside and go to Marianne's website. Let's see. All right. And she has, of course, these dates. And we'll tell you when it is. But yeah, the full moon's always interesting and a nice celestial display. It'll be bright tonight. The new moon is April 20th, as you say. That would be at 11:13 p.m., actually Wednesday the 19th in Central Time.
Of course,
April 19th is an infamous day all the way around. The Battle of Lexington and Concord and, so many things. Oklahoma City, sadly, and the Branch Davidians, sadly, and on the list goes. So, yeah, April 19th at 11:13 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
and it'll be, it'll also be a solar eclipse.
And then mine is the 21st.
Well, very good.
And then my anniversary is the 27th.
Okay.
So then I've got to be strong.
You will be. You will be. And you mentioned you were alone, but Stacy, you are not alone. It's not, I know it's not the same, that's for sure, but you've got so many people pulling for you that don't ever feel you're alone.
And I know God's holding me.
Absolutely, and is an entire array of angels.
Oh, I know. I always talk to the angels.
Good.
God, and I'm walking around. I still have to put groceries away.
Well, yes. Yes, if they belong in the refrigerator, go get them there now.
Oh, let me see if I was supposed to tell you anything. Okay, I told you about weather in the Northwest. But you know, that's why I like our area, because we are right around the corner, the firemen, and we are close to everything, Raleigh. That's why it's so wonderful, and you know, and we're pretty lucky, though, with the rain and stuff, because then it stops, and, but, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, good. And, no, it sounds like a perfect report, and enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, so Rick is okay. He came home safely, and then I talked to my cousins, and they had Andy, Howard had his great-grandchildren or something. They were going to another Seder and stuff. And
good.
So I was on the phone, like, all day. And I said, I got to call Raleigh. And I know. Did you play my Alan Jackson Good Time?
No, but I will tonight. Keep listening.
Can I also have a Delphonics? You can pick it out.
Okay. Played one of those the other night for you, but I'll play another one.
Okay.
All right. I'll do it. You got it. All right, Stacy. You got it, I promise. Alan Jackson will be coming up next.
Okay. And, Scotty, you call us or something.
Yeah.
And blessings for everybody. Everybody stay well.
You too. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Stacy. Appreciate it. All right, so yes, Alan Jackson up next, and then we got James on the South Side and his 9,832 articles. Also, since April showers do bring Mayflowers, and Mayflowers, of course, bring pilgrims, but I digress, but we'll do the April weather forecast in case the old Farmer's Almanac inadvertently is right. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Watching that clock, dusk till dawn, counting the days till Friday night. That's when all the conditions are right for a good time. I need a good time. Yeah, I've been working all week and I'm tired. I don't want to sleep and I want to have fun. It's time for a good time. I cash my check, clean my truck, put on my hat, forgot about work. Sun going down, head across town, pick up my baby and turn it around. Good time. Oh, I need a good time. I've been working all weekend, I'm tired, I don't want to sleep, and I want to have fun. Time for a good time. Hey! Like old Hank taught us about singing along, Bo Siva songs, rowdy friends all night long. Good time. Oh, we having a good time. Yeah, I've been working all week and I'm tired. I don't want to sleep and I want to have fun. It's time for a good time.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's Alan Jackson for Stacy. 2008, number one for 2 weeks on the country charts, top 30 on the pop charts. Now we'll take time out to find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
No, I love you like I do. No, I do. Don't know why I love you.
Said that you would break my heart. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, Quintessential Dion and the Belmonts on Laurie, 1958, and big hit, except it was a flip side, believe it or not. Yeah, they were putting their bets on Teen Angel, not the Mark Denning record, something that Dion had written. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And what is that going to do? I believe we're going to get to James tonight, by the way, absolutely, because he's given me so many wonderful links. I haven't forgotten that. The night will not go out without that. But I want to talk to Gene and to Fran. So, Gene, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Welcome. I love your show, and I really want some help. You talk to many people that have problems and are blind.
Yeah.
And I talked to my doctor, and he said that I should get care of my droopy eyelids, PTOSIS. And so I'm really worried that something could happen other than my eyes fixed, and so they aren't droopy. So I thought I'd call you and get some encouragement or get some wearing that could be scary.
Well, you know, I know that some people are concerned about it cosmetically. It really, in terms of whether you have to treat it or not, depends on how well your eyelid muscles are functioning. And if it doesn't affect your vision and you don't mind the way it looks, there's no reason to do anything at all. Now, if you've got a thing where you are having vision problems because of it, that's a different deal. So tell me about the situation.
Well, they're half lowered,
all
and
right.
They said it would just take a little stitch, and it's mainly able to help most people. And so I just am worried because I feel that it's a voluntary thing, even though Medicare does cover it and they get approved.
Well,
I
think it comes down to this. There again, never mind what it looks like unless that really bothers you. Is it affecting your vision at all?
To a minor point.
So what kind of a minor point? Are you developing astigmatism? What's going on?
I mean, I had cataracts taken out already.
Right, and that I assume worked perfectly fine, and you're okay with that?
Yes, it did.
Good. And, you know, that's for life. You won't develop them again.
Right.
And so...
And that works, because I wore contacts for, like...
Well,
many years.
Right, exactly, and now you don't have to. Did you go ahead and correct one eye for distance and another for close-up so you wouldn't have to wear glasses at all?
Basically, yes, they did do it that way.
Good, monovision. That's absolutely the way to do it.
Right.
As long as they get the right eye for distance, that's the only thing. You got to know which one to do. But if you got that's great. So, you know, again, if it's a cosmetic thing at this point and you're saying, gee, I feel a little hinky about it, don't do a thing. However, if it is bothering your vision or if you're having, you know, some other real irritation with it, then, of course, you want to address it. The other thing, of course, is it can be symptomatic of other muscle problems. So if it's a situation where you've got some muscle things going on, then you probably want to deal with that. Even apart from an ophthalmologist, you want to find out, or nerve problems can do that too. But if you're not looking at nerve and you're not looking at muscle and your vision really isn't affected and you don't have any autoimmunity things like myasthenia gravis, I would just go ahead and say the hell with it. You know, if you're at a point where you're saying, I don't like the way it looks, it's bothering me, then sure, do it. But I wouldn't do it because a doctor recommended it. I'd make a decision on my own.
Okay.
So if you're happy with the way it is now, well, don't mess with success.
That's very good advice, and that's why I called.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. You know, I'm not a doctor, obviously. You know, I'm a talk show host. I'm a disc jockey who talks too much, basically. But I would say, sure, it's always good to get a medical opinion, but if it's not creating any type of medical condition, then it's strictly up to you.
Okay, that sounds really good.
Well, good deal.
My other problem is not as easy. I have had and currently have an injection in, they call it pinch nerve.
Okay, where?
In my, in the hip area.
Okay.
And so I've taken two shots.
Okay, cortisone?
Still, yeah.
Is it a dull pain or is it sharp and searing?
Sharp and searing.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that is a tough one. And sometimes the shots can really help. Other times chiropractic can really be a help too. I would not consider surgery on something like that at all.
Okay.
That's just me.
Well,
there again. Yeah, right. They're just me, but I don't think orthopedic surgery has a track record that I would play with. So,
okay.
The shots, if they're helping, obviously they're you know, just you're treating the symptom, not the cause. But if you're getting relief, who cares?
Right.
You know, because when you're talking about being sharp and burning, that can be a lot of pain.
Right. Right. And I've been taking ibuprofen and
Drugs. Right. The over the counters have their good and their bad, you know. I mean, it can create other problems as well, so you don't want to have to do that every day several times a day. You know, there's a lot of different local therapy, whether it's heat and ice, whether it's exercises. They're the kind of things where if it was me, I would be looking for those kind of alternatives, simple ways to find some relief that weren't part of allopathic medicine.
Okay. Thanks. I wanted advice, and I thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, good luck on that. And, you know, nothing beats a great chiropractor if you can find one, but that's a big if.
Okay, a good chiropractor.
Yeah, if you find one, yeah. Like I say, that's harder than it sounds in many areas. But it's not sciatica, is it? The sciatic nerve's not involved at this point, right?
They said the first time I had it was sciatica.
Okay. Well, that can be very painful.
Then, yeah, it is very painful.
Right. Right. Well, I would think, like I say, chiropractic with manipulation or exercise or, you know, to do some things or even heat and cold, but I wouldn't. And the injections, I mean, there again, it's just kind of a salve. It's not something that's going to cure anything, but that's not always a bad thing. I've known a lot of people who've had a very good reaction to, you know, even cortisone injections. So I'm not opposed to it entirely.
Oh, great. Good. You gave me faith. I will go
on. Oh, good. Well, keep me
your wise words here.
Keep me posted. I want to know how you're doing.
I will.
All right.
I
thanks, Jean. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. That can be horribly, horribly painful. And yeah, I get that. The less you can do with analgesics, the better off you generally are, as far as that goes. Fran and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, I'm thinking of talking about back. My shoulders are giving me whatever tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I keep thinking about getting shots again, but they don't last as long as they used to.
Well, no, I mean, there again, it's a salve. It's you know, like putting a Band-Aid on something. It doesn't cure anything.
Right, yeah. I'm just happy to feel better.
That's right.
Better for a month or so.
And you know, that can be worth it. I mean, there's times where you're giving your body a break and you're just saying, I got to, you know, I've got so much pain, I'm shaking, I got to stop this. So I get that.
So, but anyway, I called to talk about, because you were talking about the old car phones.
Yeah.
And I used to have so much fun with that because I had a Bearcat scanner.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
And, oh, yeah, I used to hear some very interesting calls. And, of course, at that time, you had to give the number you were calling.
Yep.
And so, you know, a typical kind of thing, but this guy calls up one night and he's telling his wife, you know, that he's sorry, he's not going to be able to make it home, you know, and he almost had me feeling sorry for him.
Until the next call, yeah, until the next call. So he hangs up the phone and what happens?
Of course, he calls, and the next thing is, hi, what are you wearing?
Yep.
You know, and I'll be over there. And I thought, you know, if I were that kind of person, I know both phone numbers.
Oh, geez.
And his.
Oh, jeez.
I could create a lot of trouble here.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's the subtle touch. If you actually have their full names and addresses, remember at the airport how they used to have those machines for a quarter you could buy life insurance for a flight?
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Well, nothing like buying life insurance for a flight in somebody's name like Honey LaRue and sending it to the husband at the wife's address, of course, saying, "I'll be thinking about you, honey." You know. Yeah, I spent a lot of quarters. But my favorite story along the lines of what you're saying, my buddy Chuck Riley, who was a voiceover guy, when he first got one of the scanners, he's demonstrating it. And the first call was somebody who made a call to his spouse, who clearly was in Cedar Sinai at this point by this. And you can hear that her jaws are wired shut. God only knows what happened to this woman, you know, like, oh. And so anyway, he's going, "Oh, honey, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry. I wish I could be there. I'll be thinking about you every minute." And then, you know, of course, he hangs up the phone and the next call is, "Chill the wine, baby. I'm on my way over." So,
oh, man, that's cold. That is cold.
But the worst of any of them, and this is an absolutely true story, I won't mention any names, although the guy who was a childhood friend of mine is deceased now, so I could, but I won't. He was one of these guys who wanted to marry the perfect woman, had to be a virgin and all these kind of things. And so Imwe did. And he lavished her with gifts and bought her a new Mercedes, among other things. And he got himself a scanner. And he owned radio stations by this point. And he's at the radio station. And he's demonstrating the scanner to an employee there. Let me also mention that he was still married, but one of the problems with the marriage was the wife wasn't, we'll say, free in her affections. You know, she was wrapped.
Right, getcha.
Yeah, wrapped pretty tight. Yeah, and there were certain acts that she wasn't engaging in. That's important to our story. So here is my buddy. He's just demonstrating the scanner to his employee. And what does he hear? He hears his wife giving oral sex to the Mercedes mechanic on the phone.
Oh, my God. And she wouldn't do that for... Oh, man.
And I remember, I can see the employee's face like it was yesterday. Oh, God. Because even when he recounted this, "I'd kill a bitch. I'd just kill a bitch." Oh, God. And, I mean, this guy was so... He not only bought her Mercedes, he was supporting her father. I mean, it was on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, she got a live one there.
Yeah, that was the end of that marriage.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. What's amazing to me is people had reason to think these calls were somehow not going to be monitored by anyone.
Yeah, it's like the old cordless phones.
Yeah, and baby monitors, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I used to listen to, because one time I just flipped the channel button, I happened to hear my downstairs neighbor who had it in for me for some reason, almost got me evicted for, you know, nothing other than the fact that she didn't like me for some reason. But anyway, I could have told some stuff about her if I wanted to, because I tuned in on her phone conversation.
Well, I think
she wasn't all as high and mighty as she pretended to be.
If she ever bothered you again, I would suggest you tell her exactly what you could tell.
I would have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, about that time I left there, but she gave me problems for about 2 years.
Oh, man.
And, you know. I remember one time she was outside by the mailbox, and the mailbox was right outside of my window.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upstairs, and she's talking about how, I was having enough. Let's put it this way: if I were having as much fun as she thought I was having, I didn't know about it.
Exactly. Oh, John says I better stop, have fun, and play some commercials. So I will. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, bye. All right,
bye.
Fun over. All right, seriousness begins right here on WGN Radio.
Well, I'd be doggone if I wouldn't work all day. Bring you my pay, baby. But if I ever caught you running around, blowing my money all over this town, then I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I'd be long gone. Then I wouldn't be doggone. I'd be long gone.
I'd be long gone.
Mm-hmm.
dirty thing,
baby.
And I've been doggone if you ain't warm as a breath of spring.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Marianne want to hear something by Marvin Gaye, and I got to pick it, so I'll be doggone. That's what I picked, since we're talking about the Westminster show, and, which, by the way, doesn't come up till May for 2023. And last year it was a bloodhound. I was admiring the bloodhound. It was actually a bloodhound from Illinois. A fine bloodhound. All right, but I digress. We've got another hour of this, plenty of royals to discuss, and hundreds of stories courtesy of James, who you will hear from next right here on WGN Radio.
When your house is no longer a home, and you feel you just don't belong, when your search for wealth
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those, of course, are the Whispers, 1969 on Soul Clock. And Nick Caldwell wrote it and sings it. And sadly, he would have turned 79 years old today. That part's not sad. The fact that he died in 2016, only 71 years old, congestive heart failure. That's the sad part. And, yeah, the Whispers. Man, they were on Dory, and that was probably my favorite period. But some of those Soul Clock records were terrific, too. Remember Me was a flip side. The A side was What Will I Do? And just a fine song. And Nick was born in Loma Linda in Orange County. And he and the Scott Twins and Gordy Harmon and Marcus Hudson got together and, of course, became the Whispers. And not only did Nick write that, wrote a number of their things, including Lady, and just nice, nice stuff. So rest in peace, Nicholas Caldwell. All right, 888-876-5593. The cavalcade of stories. And James on the South Side finds all the links. So welcome back to WGN Radio, James.
How are you feeling?
I don't know anymore. I was feeling better when the show started, not now.
Oh, well, I do have a request. Okay, basically, what's going on?
Oh, yes, 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 you betcha.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, when I think about some of the crazy stuff that's happened, I say, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, a fine Marvin Gaye record. I'll play it for you. You betcha. So of all the links you've sent in the last couple days, of course, April 1st was April Fool's Day. But the headline that Donald Trump could embarrass the royal family with letters Princess Diana sent to him. Now, I'm trying to imagine this on any level. Why on earth would Princess Diana have ever written Donald Trump a letter?
I can't wrap my mind around it either. And the bad part was, I think at the time when I was trying to read the story, the buffoon was decided to act up right at that time. I said, uh-huh. Isn't that just great?
Yeah, you know, you look at some of these headlines, and of course, that's the joy of the tabloids. The headlines are always so much better than any of the stories in there. But I tried to imagine under what circumstances Princess Diana would be saying, oh, I think I'll sit down and write Donald Trump a letter.
I just can't. It just does not compute. It's like, okay, it's almost like... if I were, let's see, I hate to go sci-fi here,
yeah,
but I almost want to do it. I pretty much want to say, if I were basically a Dalek, I basically say,
exterminate that lettuce.
Yeah, I can't imagine it myself. Then we have the explosion at the Pennsylvania chocolate factory that results in a woman surviving only because she fell into the vat.
Yeah, which, I mean, I remember, unfortunately for somebody of some years back, they fell into a vat of hot chocolate. It did not end so well.
No, I remember that story, absolutely. I know there was a strike years ago for Hershey's. Gosh, this must have been the 50s, and I remember claiming that workers were fighting for the right to lick all the pans. But in this case, it's just amazing to me that this woman, not only did she fall into the vat of liquid chocolate, but her arm was on fire when she did.
Yeah, so, well, let's put it this way, okay, we can say never did something so good turn out to be so good.
Yeah, I guess, and apparently there'll be a number of OSHA investigations because the burning woman and others had been complaining about a gas odor about half a minute before the factory blew up. And nobody was evacuated, and sadly, some of the people didn't make it, including good friends of hers. And so, this is a town that's basically a Philadelphia exurb, so it's somewhat Philadelphia. But what's interesting is that the workers, virtually all of them, didn't speak English. They were all they were Spanish speakers. Yeah, in fact, the interview with this woman on video, she is not speaking English.
All right.
So,
it's basically habla español.
Yeah, and you wonder. But so fortunately, I guess she gets to keep the arm, which is good, and I guess she got to keep all the chocolate she could eat. She landed feet first, and apparently there wasn't that much chocolate. It came up to her chest. And,
That's okay, but that's still good. I mean, in this case, we can say, to borrow a slogan, good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'll tell you what, they have stories about her screaming for hours, and I'm like, wait a minute, how long did it take the fire department to get there? So that was quite the story.
Yeah, sad on that level because what it's also saying is okay when you think about because I came across one story where they were talking about the whole idea of quiet quitting. I'm like thinking, oh my goodness! Okay, it was actually more like a video thing, which is why I didn't give that one to you. I said, I know you hate video.
Yeah, I don't have time to watch them. It's not that I hate them; it's just that I get so behind email. Like today I took about 3 hours where I just didn't look at email, and then I downloaded and I got 910 new messages. I'm like, what?
And you start trying to pick through, right.
If it's got video or audio, it has to go. There's just no time. So
yeah,
so
for instance, now the sad thing now, like for instance, when they I know like they were saying like earlier when a caller earlier was talking about where the administration, if they could bring back some light manufacturing jobs and stuff.
Yes.
Now I think you could probably have some stuff, but then here's the sad thing: there's so much stuff that has happened here. You gotta wonder, where would the light manufacturing job thing be brought back for whom?
There's a bigger problem, and not to belabor what is a serious discussion, but here is the issue. Right now, with the economy being what it is, people are already spending a fortune on everything they're buying, and most of it is made in countries where the workers are getting 27 cents an hour. Now, if you're talking about bringing manufacturing here, and you're saying you not only have to pay a fair wage, but you also have to pay OSHA, that you have to comply with OSHA and everything else, you're going to create a product that no one here can afford to buy.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you an example. Levi jeans. I hadn't gotten any in a while, and I happened to go, okay, one place I used to get them, Sears, no longer around, but and Macy's or Marshall Field, whatever way you want to call them, okay, before it was like, I think it was 20, last time I bought any, I think it was like, oh, a while back, and it had been like between, I think, $27 and $35.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I priced it, it was $65, but thankfully it was a sale that was going on, so it was only $45.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's outrageous. Now, another story. Of course, you had a lot of technological stories, but I was reading about this poor guy, Randall Reed, just visiting his mother, driving his white Jeep. Cops stop him, and thanks to technology, they knew they had their man. They arrested him. It wasn't him. And so they booked this guy into DeKalb County Jail to await extradition from Georgia to Louisiana. He said, I've never been to Louisiana. Well, he hadn't, but it took, days to find out what he was accused of, because he not only had not been to Louisiana, he didn't know what he supposedly did, well, using stolen credit cards to buy designer purses. And, here, this guy is saying, wait a minute, I am locked up for days for something I have absolutely no clue about. So as lawyers make phone calls, they hire lawyers, they spend thousands of dollars to figure out why exactly did the police think he was responsible, and what it was that he bore a slight resemblance to a suspect who'd been recorded by a surveillance camera. And
doppelganger.
Yeah, obviously. Well, and probably not all that close. The case eventually falls apart, of course, and the warrants are recalled. So this guy spends 6 days in jail, misses a week of work. His parents spend thousands on lawyers, and what does he get? Oops, sorry, wrong guy. You know, I think that there should be some recourse that somebody like that has.
Because sure, years later, well, years later, he might be able to laugh about maybe. I don't even think then.
No, the worst part about this, and it's happening to people all over the country, is this guy was arrested and not told why. And so he's sitting there for days, doesn't know why he's arrested. To me, shouldn't be legal, and all because somebody mistook him for the image on a videotape.
Yeah, and you want to know, that's why I think they're going to go more with that facial recognition technology.
Yeah, I know, and that's less with our rights. I don't even want to think about it. But fortunately, it worked out for him. But if you say worked out where he misses a week work, he's in jail for a week, and his parents are in debt for legal, I guess that's working out, but not really.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of food things, somebody had like eggs, I think a dozen eggs on sale for $4.11.
Where?
Yeah. I think it was Jewel. I think it was Basie had some. Okay.
What produced these eggs?
I don't know, because they're just large.
Well,
just
large. But do we know if a chicken has ever been involved?
It's supposed to be, because it's in a carton and these are eggs. And I'm like thinking, I remember at some time a year or so ago, that same carton was $1.99 on sale.
Oh, God, I know. And there were other stories. I don't know if they were in your recent batch, but the desire of the government to make fake food. We've talked about that they're going to create meat. Well, now I think they're going to create eggs, too. I'm not 100% sure who's eating any of this.
I will basically say that, like, I have never tried the Impossible Burger. Don't intend to. The Impossible Whopper. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like thinking. Years ago when I was in college, right before somebody wanted to get me to go into biomedical. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go into biology, not biomedical. I'm like thinking, what? I get to engineer people?
Yeah.
In fact, that's what the. In fact, And China, they got altered people, which is actually illegal under several conventions.
Well, our own friendly FDA last fall did approve lab-grown meat. And apparently the new secret chicken recipe involves stem cells. I don't want to know. I just hope to God that while they're approving synthetic meat, that they have to label it.
Yeah, so that I can say, like they say on certain things, well, this has been we're bioengineered, and then you can choose to say, go.
I don't know, but they say that it's safe to eat, but I've yet to find anybody who wants to, so I hope to God they label it. As always, a plethora of wonderful stories. Yes.
And I forgot to mention about Harry. One of his former flings even said that he made a huge mistake here.
Oh, marrying Meghan.
Closer to Kate Middleton.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. That was the one Donald Trump quote I really liked when he said, "Good luck, Harry."
In fact, guess what? Somebody tried to stop Harry from this even happening.
I'm sure.
None other than his mother's brother.
I'm sure.
I think Charles, either Charles or somebody else, one of those guys put Diana's brother up to basically try to give him a pep talk and say, this isn't the one.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see. The tabloids will be busy for the next dozen years at least. They're in hog heaven. And if they're not, I'm sure the FDA will approve fake hogs any moment.
Oh, no. You want to know something? We've got wild hogs down in the South. We've got so many hogs, we're in hog heaven already. We don't need artificial hogs. Okay, I remember a horror movie called Pigs.
Oh, God. As always.
Oh, you do not want to know about that one.
Wonderful links, and I appreciate every one of them. Good to talk to you, James.
Okay, and Scotty, hopefully, is that they're trying to make you the $8 million man.
Let's hope so. All right, thanks.
And then maybe you can make John the $8 million couple.
I don't know. I think we've lived long enough, but thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll just go quietly.
You take care.
You too.
Okay, God bless. Have a nice Easter.
You too.
All right. Okay.
Yes, that's right. It is Good Friday and Easter Sunday this weekend. And as I mentioned, Passover started tonight, and I believe that's 8 days. Or maybe that was Hanukkah. Well, it's a week or so. Anyhow, 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So the FDA says lab-grown meat is safe to eat. And, you know, I read one of the articles about the fake beef, and literally, no lie, no exaggeration, had to go to the bathroom and vomit. And so I haven't read a fake beef article since then because I know the result. But now they've not only approved it, but the big thing now is they're explaining how they make fake chicken. I refuse, absolutely refuse to read these. What I want to know, though, and I haven't seen anything easily on this, do they have to label it? And, you know, we talked about before, what do you do if you go to the grocery store and everything's too expensive? Well, if the fake chicken was a fraction of the cost of the real chicken, would you say, sounds good to me? Yeah, I'm not going there. Now, others are saying, oh, wait a minute, the meat you eat is already fake. Well, when you look at some of what they do in terms of, all they're shooting these things up with and what they're feeding them and all that, I think there'd be an argument. But lab-grown meat, would you? And I say, absolutely not. Well, it's coming to a plate near you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Brother.
Al James asked for it. What's going on? And we're playing it. And that was number one for 5 weeks in 1971 on the R&B charts. Number two for 3 weeks in 1971 back then. And that, of course, was on Tamla. So, 888-876-5593. We got ourselves a first-time caller, and that's Rosie. And she's in Sturtevant. Welcome to WGN Radio. Rosie.
Hi, this is Rosie, and I'd like to know two things. The origination of your name, how did you happen to be named Raleigh? And would you please play I'll Be Loving You Always?
Oh, okay. Let me write that down so I don't forget. I will do both of them for you, I promise.
Thank you so much. Okay. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Rosie. All
right. Happy Easter and happy Passover.
You too.
Bye now.
All right. So, I've told this before. Raleigh is a compromise. It was the product of a fight. My father wanted to name me after the adoptive parents. My father wanted to name me after his sister, Raquel. My mother said, no, she's American. Let's call her Rochelle. And my father didn't like that. So my mother said, well, let's just call her Shelley. And so she said, he just would not go for it. And he said, Raquel, we'll call her Rocky. All right. Rocky and Shelley equal Raleigh. And, of course, it wasn't spelled that way originally. It was just like the normal R-O-L-L-I-E. But when I got invited into Cub Scouts and all these boys things, my mother said, well, it will feminize it. We'll make it Y-E. And so she did. Now, of course, she never expected an internet. And the problem with that is everybody wants to put the E before the Y or add an E to it. Yeah, Rolly. I love that one. It sounds like I'm a cattle breed. No, it's R-O-L-L-Y-E. And, that's the Raquel derivation. So, yeah, that was my father's sister, and she's no longer with us. So, my mother was hell-bent to have an American child. In fact, basically forbid me to speak Spanish at home. And now, of course, boy, do I regret that. Because I was fluent as a kid, but that's kid Spanish. You know, that's like saying puedo ir al baño. Yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. But other than that, the big words are elusive to me since we didn't speak it. All right, that's the answer to that. And I'll forever be loving you. It probably won't be tonight. It might be tomorrow night. And tomorrow night's an interesting show because it's only half hour, but plenty of time to play I'll Forever Be Loving You. So, thanks for the call to Rosie. 888-876-5593. And that is going to take us to, John in Covington. What's up, John?
Hey, Raleigh. I've been meaning to ask you, but you're so interesting. I get off topic, but I've been meaning to ask you. I told you my dad worked for an amusement company that did pinball machines,
sure,
and jukeboxes.
Yeah,
and
he was
stuff.
A root
anyway,
man.
So yeah. So have you ever had it happen when you were dealing with 45s over your career, where the 45 is too heavy and it won't go down? You know, when you like our stereo at home.
Oh, yeah, no, as far as the automatic changer, sure.
Right.
There wasn't a whole lot of standardization as far as what they were made from and the thickness and all that. The thing that bothered me most about 45s, though, it'll be true of anything that's pressed, but 45s were uniquely bothered by this, is that with the cutting lathes, they'd print X number of copies before they'd retire that lathe. Well, if you got copies toward the end of it, they sounded horrible. And some labels were worse than this. I mean, Scepter was really bad. There were others that were as well. And then you add that to the idiots who wanted to use polystyrene and very lightweight, bendable, but sounded like crap. You know, and I swear to God, they recycled the labels right in it. I don't know that that's true, but it sure seemed like it. In any event, the standardization wasn't real great.
My dad, I won't say he invented it or anything, but he had the idea, and it did work. He took a very sharp knife, pocket knife, and he just very carefully cut each 45, like about a 16th of an inch, and it would go down. And he had to do that on his jukeboxes.
Well,
too,
right. The way they would pick records that I was imagining could be a problem.
Right, and I'll tell you, and I'm not knocking anybody because God, they were the absolute premier, but Motown was notorious for it, and the Beatles, not the Beatles themselves, but like afterwards when they split up, John and Yoko, and the Apple.
Well,
Apple.
Right, Apple wasn't pressing their own stuff, so you know it would depend where you went. You know, the people who had their own lathes were more in control of it, obviously. And people who are really interested in this stuff can tell the difference in the Columbia pressing plants. They can listen to something and say, "Oh, that was Terre Haute, or that was Pittman, or whatever." I never got that into it, but there was a big difference in pressing plants, no doubt about it. But the big thing, like I say, is if they waited too long to retire those lathes, man, those last records sounded like hell.
One more thing. Can you tell me, because I've heard different things, can you tell me what year did Frank Sinatra start Reprise Records?
I'm guessing 1960.
That's what I heard, and then I also heard, like, his daughter, when she, 1966, when she had the Boots song.
Right, right.
That wasn't on Reprise, and then I heard it was.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah. There a lot. We used to call it the revenge label, because that Capitol contract. Now, here's the reason why some people wonder when he started it. That Capitol contract didn't expire until 1962. And so there was some overlap where Capitol was releasing stuff after Reprise actually existed. And so, but he's...
Oh, it overlapped.
Oh, yes, by 2 years, much to his chagrin. But there was nothing he could do about it. But, it was 1960, and he was just ticked at Capitol. And, of course, Capitol was basically built on Nat King Cole when you get right down to it. And so what Frank wanted was he wanted to buy Verve Records, and which at the time was kind of an eclectic jazzy label. Well, he didn't get to. And so he started Reprise. And, of course, everybody on the Rat Pack, he immediately gave a contract to Dean Martin.
Dino, God.
Sammy
all
Davis
Dino
Jr. And but the original roster had, like, Bing Crosby and Joe Stafford and Rosie Clooney and Duke Ellington and Yes Nancy and Red Fox, who had been on Dutone Records, was on there. And so the original label, the album, had four different logos. And so as far as that goes, but his big thing, because of what happened to him at Capitol, was that anybody he signed had full creative freedom. And also at some point had the right to ownership of their recordings. And that explains why people like Jimi Hendrix were, I think I'll go with Reprise, or the Kinks, as far as that goes. And it was a deal where those Reprise recordings were out of print for, over 20 years? And ironically, the deal that was struck was with Capitol to do the reissues. And ultimately, the catalog was sold to Capitol.
Well, okay, Raleigh, well, I really appreciate your time and your information. Thank you
sure.
so much.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, 1960. But if you say that can't be because Capitol's still recording, they could till 62. All right, so 888-876-5593. Karen in Chicago, what's up tonight?
Hi, how are you? My friends and I were talking about Richard Pegee. Do you remember?
Oh, of
him?
Course, of course. I don't have any of his records. I got some on this computer, but I don't have any of the 45s myself.
You know what's funny? I really didn't get into doo-wop until I came to Chicago, and then the folks that I hung around with, of course, were into it, because I had gone to school in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Right.
All we could get was WJJD and WLS,
sure.
So you kind of know where that went.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we're trying to remember what... There was a song that Richard Pegee played before and after his show, and it was either called Stay a While, or it was sung by a woman.
Really?
And I can't remember. My friend Laura brought it up, and she couldn't remember the name. I tried doing it with Alexa and all that. That was some horrible song by Journey.
Right. No, not at all. No, no. I Stay a While With Me, I think, was the record.
Is that it?
Yeah, Stay a While With Me. And
I remember Richard McGee's voice and everything, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Stay a While With Me, and I'm trying to think of who did that, but that's what it was. I remember that.
Then maybe I asked for the wrong thing.
No, that's it. I don't know if it's on, I'm going to look to see if it's on this computer. But yeah, Stay a While With Me is the song. And of course, he was on VON for years. And then, you know, he did records himself, like he was in the Norvells. And then
that I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he in Milwaukee for a while?
Well, yeah, NOV, VON's kind of sister station. Yeah, but that was not unusual. Stay a While With Me is not on this computer. I will find that for you. I'll write this down and find, because now it'll drive me crazy too. But that's what it was. Stay a while with me.
Two more Manhattan's requests.
Oh, of course you do. What are they?
Yeah. Follow Your Heart.
Yeah.
And Searching for My Baby.
Of course. All good choices.
I like them. I love the Manhattan.
Oh,
you
I do
really
too.
You really got me onto a good. You and my former roommate really got me onto some good music.
Yeah. Well, that Carnival label was a great little label.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for everything. And thanks, if we can find that song.
I could be wrong, but I think it was Sharon Ridley.
I'm going to try that tomorrow.
Sharon Ridley. That may be on this. Let me look it up that way, see if I've got it on this computer that way. No, I don't. But
we were having this discussion about three of us.
I'm pretty sure it was Sharon Ridley. And I could be wrong, but, you know, doing this from memory, not good memory either. Let's see. I'll play it for you.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I can play this. This was 1971. Let's see.
It would have to be.
It was on Sussex. Van McCoy produced it. I'm pretty sure that this
I
is
I came
it.
Here in 77, and that's, I remember here.
Yeah. Yeah, Van McCoy produced this record. You can hear it. Yep.
It is. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Van McCoy produced that, and it was on Sussex. I don't know if you'll find it anywhere, but I'm sure it's on YouTube because everything's on YouTube.
I know. Do you think Alexa will do it? I'm going to give it a shot.
I think if it's on YouTube, Alexa has to, but I don't know. I don't use those things.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
My pleasure. Yeah, there was a picture sleeve to that, I remember, and I'm almost positive that was Sussex. And that was it, though. Yeah, and like I say, Van McCoy. All right, well, glad we had this little talk. Glad I thought of it. 888-8s, because that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up, you know. I should be worried more about, you know, libel insurance applications, but oh, no, I'll think about Sharon Ridley. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, get to Donna. We'll get to Sherry, and that's going to close it out. And tomorrow we only got a half hour, but that's plenty of time to talk to you right here on WGN Radio.
Is it yes or is it no? Should I stay and be happy, dear, or should I go? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you. Does your heart beat like mine? Don't you sometimes think that you've had too much wine? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you. When you're near, everything is so sweet. When you're gone, I feel like I'm in need. When you smile, I feel so gay. Oh, is it yes or is it no? Should I stay at?
So I wasn't sure if it was I'll Be Forever Loving You or I'll Be Loving You Forever, and I don't remember who requested it, but if it was I'll Be Forever Loving You, that was the El Dorados, don't you know? Now, on the other hand, if it wasn't, if it was, in fact, I'll Be Loving You Forever, well, that was New Kids on the Block, so somewhere, and yeah, here. Longest intro in the history of radio. You can read a license over it and the local weather. All right, so it was maybe one of those two, or perhaps you had a completely different song in mind, and sorry I failed you again. Donna in Oak Lawn, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I wanted to cast your mind back a million years ago. I was very young. Charlton Heston was in a movie. He starred in a movie called Soylent Green.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, boy.
And that, now we are...
That was people.
Living in the age of fake meat.
Right.
And the scary part about it is Europe doesn't allow GMOs.
I know.
Europe is not going for this fake meat. They happen to like their meat straight off the hoof. Or let it cluck in a hen house.
Yes, yes.
They don't want any of this fake stuff in Europe. Only our beloved FDA allow us Americans to eat untested. Who knows what's going to happen in 20 years. We might end up with a third eye.
Well,
very zen of our FDA.
I just worry about labeling. If they'll at least tell me what's in it, I'll decide if I'll have it or not.
Do you know right now if you're getting GMO corn?
Yeah, you are. Basically, if you're getting corn, you are. I mean, take that to the bank. Unless you know a grower yourself who's doing it organically, if it's coming on a supermarket shelf, just assume that it's GMO.
Isn't that a scary prospect?
Well, don't eat it.
And the other thing, just to make life even more Frankensteinian, if there is such a word, I was reading in Yahoo News not too long ago that there are new lakes forming in the California Valley, that they're having so many problems with rain and flooding that they don't know what's going to happen when the snow melts up above in the mountains. It's very possible that your eggplant will be doing the backstroke, and produce is going to be in a new high as far as consumer prices are concerned.
I don't doubt it for a moment, and add to that the fact that give it 6 months and they'll claim it's a drought. So it's just the way it works. You've ended the show. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right.
And have a good, blessed week.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, and we'll be, we got a half hour tomorrow night. I hope Sherry's going to be up late enough to call me back because I blew it tonight. Well, we thank two people tonight. We thank Brett for the first part of it. Then we thank Dan for the second part of it, both of whom were instrumental in keeping me on the air, whether you like it or not. Until tomorrow night around midnight 30, that's a wrap. We also thank John for screening your calls and especially you for calling. It makes it easier for me, and I like that. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.